Scott, the Sunday school teacher for the elementary class. This Sunday morning, we'll be learning about David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Please listen in with the students as we learn more about this mighty man of God.
Good morning, boys and girls. Hi, Patrick and Trevor. Oh, here's Anise, too.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, I hope you've all had a great weekend, and hello to our new friends. It's always nice to see new faces. Is your family visiting our church this morning?
Well, not exactly. I'm Amy, and this is my brother Bryce. We are staying with our grandparents for a while this summer.
Oh, they attend our church?
Yes, the Carters.
Oh, that's wonderful. Your grandparents have been great friends of my family for many years. Mrs. Carter was even my third grade teacher here in our Christian school.
Really? I wish we could come to school here, but Dad says we need to be in a real school to get good education so we can get ahead in life. But at least we can come to Sunday school here this summer.
Well, I'm so glad you're both here. We're going to be studying the life of David from the Old Testament. You know, David himself was taught from the Holy Scriptures by his family. He learned about the true God of Israel, and he also learned many other things that would help him when he became the king. Bryce, do you know about David?
What's to know? Hasn't everybody heard about David? He was a shepherd boy who killed a giant and then got to become the king. Lucky guy. Wouldn't I like to be king? I sure wouldn't hang around that smelly bunch of sheep anymore. That's for sure. How boring is that? Oh, yeah. And he played the harp.
That's mostly true, but I'm pretty sure there's more. Didn't David have a friend who was his enemy's son?
You're right, Patrick. I remember now. Jonathan was King Saul's son, and Saul got so mad he went around looking for David.
Wait, why was Saul so mad about his son having David for a friend?
Well, obviously, David was trying to steal the throne from Saul and his son, and he must have been just pretending to be Jonathan's friend. That's how it goes. It's impossible to have a real friend that will stick by you no matter what.
I'm really confused now. Miss Scott, is that how the story of David was?
No, boys and girls. I'll tell you what. Why don't we look into the Bible account to see how it all happened? But first, let's begin with prayer. Trevor, would you pray this morning?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the big and small blessings you give us every day. Thank you that you are helping my mom get better. Thank you for fun times and quiet time. Thank you for giving us healthy bodies and good minds so we can be here today. Thank you for Miss Scott, and please put into her mouth the words that will help our hearts to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Young David was faithful in watching and caring for the sheep. As he sat in the fields watching over his father's sheep, he would practice with his slingshot and sing praises to the Lord. He loved his God and enjoyed spending time with him each day.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1.
Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:8-9.
Samuel, how long will you mourn King Saul and his sin against me? I am angry with the king Saul, for he will not obey my commandments. I will provide me another king. Go to the town of Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse. I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee.
Samuel, what brings you here to our humble town? Come on in, sit down and rest a while.
Well, Jesse, the Lord has sent me on an errand. I have come to sacrifice him to the Lord. Afterwards, we will have a feast. Come and bring your sons.
Yes, Samuel, we will come. Boys, boys, come quickly. The prophet Samuel is here. He is going to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. We must go. Samuel, this is my son Eliab.
This is not the one, Samuel. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh in the heart.
And Abinadab?
Neither hath the Lord chosen this.
Shammah?
Neither hath the Lord chosen this one. No, not this one, nor this one. He is not here, Samuel.
The Lord hath not chosen thee. Are here all thy children?
There remaineth yet the youngest. He is keeping the sheep.
Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down come hither.
Eliab, go find David and bring him here.
You called for me, sir?
Arise, Samuel. Anoint him, for this is he.
Yes, David. Kneel before me.
The Bible tells us, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Luke 16:10.
Thank you.
Sandy. We missed you last week. Did you enjoy your trip to the mountains?
Yes, it was great.
Well, except we had a few unexpected problems, such as a flat tire on the way.
Oh, man!
Uh-oh.
And we ended up taking a wrong road, which led to the middle of nowhere.
Oh, dear. Well, I guess it could have been worse.
It actually did get worse. Mom said Dad should use his GPS instead of his memory. Then Dad said if she would have helped him with directions, we wouldn't have been lost. Then Mom said if the other drivers had not kept honking their horns at Dad, we might have gotten in a bad wreck.
The important thing is that you got to your destination and back home again safely. You know, I was praying for you all as you traveled.
I know, Miss Scott. And you know, Mom and Dad prayed too, after their fighting. They asked God to forgive them for being unkind to each other, and they asked me to forgive them too. After that, the trip went much better.
Sophie, sometimes life is that way too. When I try to do things my way and forget about God's plans, I have a hard time. He might send something into my life that I am not expecting, but I can trust that he will help me through it if my heart is focused on him.
That's right. I remember when I used to play my electronics in my room all the time. That was okay for a while, but then, well, something happened.
What do you mean? What happened?
Well, my mom got hurt at work. She had quit her job, and she couldn't do her work at home either. My dad had to take care of her and the housework and the cooking, and I had to help.
Wow, that's bad news for a kid.
I thought so too. At first, I was kind of mad at my mom and at Dad for making me help, but it actually turned out to be a good thing.
A good thing?
Yes, Amy, it did. I remember when that happened, Trevor. You went through a lot of tough things that could have torn your family apart. But I think God had a reason for it.
Yes, he did, Miss Scott. Our family had stopped making time for the things of God. We dropped out of church, and our Bibles just stayed on the shelf. After Mom's accident, we had to get used to a new way of life. My parents began to change. We came back to church, and now they're both happy about studying God's Word together.
It's sort of like David's life. He learned about God when he was a young boy and spent time to get to know him personally. Even though David had to wait on God's timing, he was patient and obedient. Rather than grumbling and looking for rewards, he enjoyed meditating on God.
What is meditation anyway? Like yoga?
Not exactly. Meditating on God is about opening your mind only to Him and asking Him to take away your selfish thoughts. While we were driving through the mountains, I thought about God's greatness and His power. David spent time in the mountains too, thinking and writing praises to God.
That's what Grandma says about praying too. She talks to God about everything. She says that God is her very best friend, and he is just as real as any person. But God loves her more than anyone else does, even Grandpa. She isn't even afraid of dying, because she would just keep being with God, only without her sin.
But I don't get it. My dad says, you only live once, and you should grab all the money and happiness while you can. If you have a good heart, and you're not in jail, and you say a prayer every now and then, God will let you into heaven. And God understands sometimes when you have to tell a lie or get back at people who hurt you.
Boys and girls, I remember when I didn't know God in a real way. I thought he must be really mean to let these bad things happen. But when I realized my bad habits and my selfish choices were sin against him, I began to understand how good and holy God is.
Is that how meditation works? To show us that God loves us and wants to save us from our bad choices?
Exactly, Amy. David learned early in life to ask God to search his heart and direct his steps. David wrote many psalms about his ways, his compassion,
and his loss.
Of the Lord came upon David from that day forward, but the spirit of the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit troubled him because of a continued disobedience to God.
Saul, behold, an evil spirit troubleth thee. Command thy servant to seek out a man that has a cunning player on a harp. And when the evil spirit is upon thee, he shall play, and thou shalt be well.
Find such a man, and bring him to me.
I have seen a son of Jesse from Bethlehem that plays well, and he's a valiant and prudent, and the Lord is with him.
Go to Jesse, and tell him to send me this son.
For me.
done well, my servant. Send a letter to Jesse requesting that David stay and play before me. I will make him my armor bearer.
And it came to pass, when the evil spirit was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched their tents by the valley of Elah.
And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them.
Jesse sent David to go check on his brothers, take some food to the captains, bring him news of the battle.
Why are you come out and set your bow to fight against us? Am I not a Philistine, and ye service to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we shall be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.
Well, is no one going to answer him? Why do you all just stand here?
He has been coming out like this for 40 days, morning and evening. Look around you. We don't have anyone that can even close be able to fight this guy. The king says the man who kills him will be great riches and the hand of the king's daughter in marriage.
What's the use of getting killed and getting nothing for it? A dead person cannot enjoy great riches or being married to the king's daughter.
That's true.
That's right. I would rather have my wife, even if I had to live in captivity to those Philistines.
Why are you here? Aren't you supposed to be watching the sheep? I know your pride. You have just come down here to see what is going on with the battle.
What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Someone needs to fight this Philistine who defies our God.
King Saul sends for you.
Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. I, your servant, will go and fight this Philistine who defies our God.
You cannot go against this Philistine. You are but a youth, and he is a man of war.
Thy servant sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb from the flock. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this Philistine shall be as one of them. See, he hath defied the armies of the living God. The God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear will also deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.
Go, and the Lord be with thee. But first, put on my armor to protect you.
I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. God himself will be my armor.
And David took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine.
Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Come to me, and I will give thy flesh into the fowls of the air, into the beasts of the field.
You come to me.
lion's head. Goliath quickly tumbled, God's enemy was dead.
Thank you.
King Saul could rule in peace. He was impressed with David's defeat of the giant Goliath, and he kept him at the palace with him. David was faithful to obey whenever Saul gave him a job to do. He knew God had placed him here to learn the responsibilities of a king.
During this time, David and King Saul's son Jonathan became best of friends. Even when David was given charge over Saul's men of war, Jonathan was not jealous at all, but happy for his friend.
Because all of Israel was singing praises to David, King Saul's heart was filled with jealousy. He said within himself,
"They have credited David with tens of thousands, but me with only thousands. What more can he get from me but my kingdom?"
The evil spirit began to torment King Saul again, but now David's sweet playing on his harp did not soothe Saul. One day, in anger, Saul threw his javelin at David, but David was able to jump out of the way. King Saul became afraid of David because he realized that the Lord was with him. He ordered David to leave the palace, and David was no longer in charge of Saul's army.
God continued giving David success in everything he did. David even married Saul's daughter. Saul noticed that whenever the enemy attacked, David was always the best at defeating the enemy. King Saul became more and more afraid of David and finally commanded his servants and soldiers to put him to death.
Kill him! Rend me out of my enemy before he takes my kingdom.
Jonathan hurried to warn David that his father was looking for him to kill him. He urged his friend to find a safe place to hide. He begged his father not to kill David. And Saul changed his mind for a time.
For a while, everything seemed fine. Then one day, David and his troops had a mighty defeat against the Philistines. This left King Saul unhappy and troubled.
Again, David came and played the harp for Saul. And again, Saul threw a javelin at him. David was on his guard and escaped unhurt, but left the palace to find safety. One day, David and Jonathan secretly meet. They both realized that was not safe for David. Saul intended to kill him. He would have to go into hiding from Saul.
David and Jonathan were true friends who loved and trusted each other. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times.
David and Jonathan depended on the Lord for wisdom and strength to guide them in their lives. They made a covenant together to always be best friends. Jonathan gave David his robes, his garments, his sword, and his bow to show a symbol of his friendship.
God has
David spent many years running from King Saul. Saul would punish and kill those that helped David, even 85 priests and their families. David was horrified and grieved at Saul's actions. Day after day, King Saul hunted David all throughout his hidings in caves and in the wilderness. David trusted God for guidance and help.
We can read David's thoughts and prayers in the Psalms as he cries out to God. David took his worries, fears, and needs to the Lord in prayer. Time after time, God guided and protected David.
When David was hiding in a cave, Saul came to the same cave. David and his men went far back in the cave and hid. Saul and his men lay down to rest. David sneaked out to where Saul and his men were sleeping and cut off a piece of his robe. To get a ways off. And then
my lord the king,
you. I could have killed you today. But look, I only took a piece of your robe. I spared your life. The Lord will judge between you and me and show who is right. I will not lay my hand upon God's anointed.
Thou art more righteous than I, but thou hast rewarded me good, and I have rewarded thee evil. For the Lord reward thee for the good thou hast done this day. I know thou shalt be king, and the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thy hand.
King Saul was touched by David's words and remembered how much he loved David.
Saul and his men went home, but David knew that the king's kindness might not last. So David and his men found a new hiding place. Soon, Saul had forgotten about David's kindness toward him, for he had not truly repented. Saul went back out after David once again. One night, after Saul had made camp for the night,
the scouts have located Saul's camp. Who will go down with me into the camp?
Into Saul's camp?
Art thou mad? Dost thou not love life? I will go.
God has delivered him into your hand again. Let me kill him with his own spear.
No, for he is the Lord's anointed. God will cause King Saul to die at God's appointed time. Let us take his spear and water and leave.
David and Abishai left the camp taking Saul's spear and water. No one saw them or awoke from sleep because God had caused a deep sleep to come upon them. Only God could have given David this unusual courage and protected him. While David was far away on another hill,
Abner, why dost thou not protect your king? Why do you not protect your king? Someone came into your camp and could have killed your king.
Is that your voice, David?
It is, O king. What makes you think? Why are you pursuing me? What wrong have I done to you? Has the Lord stirred you up against me and caused me to be driven away from my home?
I have sinned. I won't try to harm you anymore because my soul is precious in your eyes this day. I have been wrong.
Send one of your men to come and get your spear and cruse of water. Remember, I did not kill you when I had the chance. I pray the Lord will deliver me from all my troubles.
May you be blessed, my son David.
David was glad the king was sorry for chasing him, but he still did not trust him. David was a man after God's own heart, and the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Come is my help.
was right not to trust Saul, for soon he was being pursued again. He knew that God was his only hope. He knew that God would protect and provide for him.
David heard news that the Israelites and Philistines were fighting and waited anxiously for news of the battle. He knew his friend Jonathan would be at that battle.
A few days later, a young man came running into town where David was waiting. It was obvious the news was not good.
Where do you come from? Have you news of the battle?
I escaped from the camp of Israel.
How did the battle go? Tell me, quickly.
The people of Israel fled the Philistines, and many of Israel died. King Saul and his son also dead.
How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan be dead?
I seen with my own eyes that they will kill. You'll be pleased that I brought Saul's own bracelet and crown, my lord.
No! It cannot be! No!
David wept over Saul and his son Jonathan, forgetting all the evil that Saul had done to him. David only remembered Saul's good deeds before he became consumed with hatred and jealousy. David sang, "The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen?" David sang a special song of grief for Jonathan, who had been such a wonderful friend to him.
And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel because they were fallen by the sword. 2 Samuel 1:12.
Are supposed to go and when she had hair appointments. The doctors have said Mom is not going to get better and she will need people to help her more as her memory gets worse. Dad said the ladies at church have been helping with meals, but I believe God wants me to go home and help take care of Mom.
It sounds just like what happened to my grandma.
This sounds like a simple decision.
But I have to be honest and tell you that I have really struggled with what to do. I will have to quit my job here as a nurse. I was planning on retiring in just a year and was looking forward to extra bonus checks from the hospital. As I thought about the money I'd be losing, I have to admit I became a little downhearted. My coworkers could not believe I would give up the benefits that are only 1 year away. Children, our Sunday school lessons have reminded me that David had ups and downs in his life. And as I have been reading in the Psalms, I have realized that my plans may not be the plans God has for me.
I had been making my plans for the future based on my trust in money, which is not God's way at all. He tells us, set not your heart upon increased riches, but to trust in him at all times. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord, because his way is perfect. And Psalm 68:10 reminds us that the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. I know now that whatever God has for me in the future, I will be in his hand, and he knows what is best.
Bryce, shall we tell the class about what has happened?
Well, I guess so. Our plans have changed, just like Miss Scott's. Our parents are moving here, and Dad says he wants us to come to school here.
We don't understand why Dad changed his mind, but Grandma says he seems disappointed with his old way of thinking, and he wants to come to church with us.
Amy and Bryce, it sounds like your parents care about you two very much. God honors parents who want to make good choices for their children. Now let's read more from Miss Scott.
Boys and girls, another struggle I'm having is an attitude toward one of my relatives that I might be seeing a lot at my parents' house. My cousin says she doesn't believe in a God who lets bad things happen in the real world, and that I'm wasting my time serving him. She made fun of me when I told her I pray for my patients and the doctors at the hospital. She thinks our school is teaching made-up Bible stories, and we leave out the important lessons for living in the real world.
Wow, if she only knew what we do learn in school. God wants us to learn about math and science. He wants us to learn about health, history, and astronomy. He wants us to learn everything we can about the real world, because he created it.
Yes, and he gave us curious minds to think about his creation in a way that makes perfect sense. Our wise God created the universe, the tiniest creatures, and us too. Everything should work the way it should because he had a plan.
I guess if God had a plan, he must have everything in the right order.
God also wants us to know the questions that people have, especially how we know that the Bible is true.
That's right. Did you know every new scientific discovery gives even more evidence that the Bible is true?
Children, many people don't understand God's word. It can be very hurtful when our family is against us. Listen to verse 8 of Psalm 69, which tells about the Messiah to come. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and alien unto my mother's children.
Even Jesus' family and friends turned against him.
Yes, they did, but Jesus always prayed for his enemies. We'll pray for Miss Scott to have a loving and patient heart with all of her family. Now back to her letter.
Another fear I have is that Mom will forget who I am. I will be like a stranger to her. But Psalm 90 reminds us that life is short, like the grass that grows, then withers away. Just as God brought David along a journey was not always easy, but I believe he is calling me to new challenges. I will still be nursing, but I'll be giving care to the one who brought me up in a loving family. Maybe I can become a Bible teacher to my cousin if her heart becomes tender toward God. Please pray that my choices, my attitude, and my work will honor my parents and God most of all. Miss Wilson will be teaching you much more about David's life after he becomes king of Israel. Children, this verse has become special to me, and I hope you will look it up in class. It's Psalm 56:3. I believe it can help us all face our giants.
I think we know that verse already, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we do.
Let's say it then.
Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
The Bible tells us that David did not try to claim the throne immediately after the deaths of King Saul and Jonathan, but learned to wait in God's timing and to respect God's authority, and how he wanted him to take over as Israel's new leader. When David finally became king in God's time and in God's chosen place, he kept his promise to Jonathan by finding his son and bringing him to live at the palace.
David had much success as long as he was faithful to follow God's commands. When he finally obeyed God's instructions, he was even able to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, Israel's capital.
Unfortunately, David sometimes failed to obey God, as we all do. David's power and pride caused him to commit serious sins that brought shame and death to his own family and to all of God's people.
But David had a tender heart. Nathan the prophet told King David a story about a little lamb that would cause David to confess these awful sins that grieved God. David fell on his face before God and prayed for mercy. He gave to God his own broken and contrite heart and asked God to create in him a clean heart.
Because all of his poor choices as king, David was not allowed to do one thing he truly desired, build a temple for God. The prophet Nathan told David that God had chosen his future son for this honor.
Because David was willing to be a humble servant who trusted in the true living God, his people would be blessed many years later. The promised one would be born in Bethlehem, the very place David himself was born.
Even though David never knew the Savior of Israel would be named Jesus, he was moved by God to write psalms that would prophesy about the Messiah who would die on a cross in order to bring life and hope to the whole earth.